if antitrust applies the same in all different areas of the law, albeit under different circumstances, you've now got a tool to attack patent antitrust issues where you don't have to show that the patent is invalid or not infringed. So let's think about it in you know, perhaps very overly simplistic terms, and that is you have the patent owner sues the big infringer first. The big infringer, you know, files an IPR, doesn't get initiated because they didn't put in a piece of prior art to show a motivation to combine. Well, then other infringers are sued. They've learned from the decision that, you know, turned down the IPR petition from the big infringer, what they have to fix. They fix it in their petition, and their petition gets initiated. The patent owner may say, okay, well, these little guys who've all got together on this second IPR that did get initiated, you know, collectively, I'm never going to see much money from them. But if the patent gets held unenforceable, ultimately, that's going to inure to the benefit of my big fish captive, who I've now got because their IPR failed, and now we're in court, we're going great guns, the stay's been lifted, et cetera. Well, assuming that a license is valuable, that it's something valuable, well, we're going to have reverse payment settlement because now the patent owner is going to let those people off the hook. He's just going to give them free license. Why? So that their IPR will get dismissed. Because once their IPR is dismissed, the big defendant is caught in the crosshairs and doesn't have an out. And to me, what activist means is that if the patent owner is giving up enough that it is bullshit, to use the activist rule, then you don't have to show the patent's invalid. You don't have to show that the patent is unenforceable. You just have to show that this settlement was for the purpose of manipulating the patent's life or the keeping the patent valid when the patent owner's actions show there's a good chance it might otherwise not be valid. So activist, to me, opens up a door where now in a patent enforcement action, you might see antitrust claims arising out of patent settlements directly that don't involve whether the patent is invalid or infringed, where those the presumption of validity stands, and where no one has to meet the professional real estate investor's test. So, you know, this is one of those situations where the drive to find a solution to the pharmaceutical problem is now having its spillover effect. So just the way the drive to find a solution for the NPEs enforcing business method patents had this enormous, ultimately had this enormous, enormous spillover effect, I think you're going to start to see from the pharmaceutical industry that drive to rein those people in is now going to have spillover effect on other areas of the law. I've been watching with my daughter the reruns of this series on Netflix called Once Upon a Time, and Rumpelstiltskin's big line is, every form of magic has its price. And here, this is something that we might see from the magic of activists, is that the price is that you're going to see more antitrust attacks on patents and more arguments that you don't have to have the professional real estate investors test in order to really attack what the patent owner is doing, even if it appears to be within the scope of the right. So I've talked about that. Now there's another interesting thing, and this is a specific creature of the Hatch-Waxman regime, and that is the first generic drug maker who will file for a abbreviated approval under the FDA's Orange Book by saying that it has come up with a drug that is the pharmaceutical equivalent of the name brand and that it does not infringe a valid patent of the drug maker. That counts as infringement, and that typically guarantees that the generic maker will be sued by the name brand drug maker. There then kicks in a 30-month period where the FDA cannot approve the drug that the generic is putting forth, presumably for litigation to resolve itself. But then after that 30 months, if the generic wants to, they can go ahead and introduce their product at risk. That is, at risk of having to pay royalties, lost profits, whatever. And their reward for challenging the patent owner and trying to bring competition to this market is they get a 180-day, six-month, basically, exclusivity period where other generics can't enter the market.